tell me a little bit about this UFO story. That
I think it's Golfo San Mateus or something like that. Actually, that was written up also in a UFO magazine many years ago. There's, you know, of course, the ship was found adrift under mysterious circumstances. Nobody on board, no inkling of what happened to them. And Skip knew about it, Skip Atwater, and so he tasked us on it. And some of the material was really quite provocative. Several viewers reported a glowing object in the sky, and several viewers reported pandemonium on the vessel. I think I included that in my session on that. There were impressions by, I believe, more than one viewer of the crew just diving off into the water, trying to escape or something like that. You know, of course, this is, you know, impossible to confirm because all they had was an empty minesweeper, but the fact that you had several different viewers under blind, in a couple cases, double-blind circumstances reporting very similar things, that's thought-provoking, you know. It isn't a guarantee because there's also this phenomenon called telepathic overlay where one viewer can slave off of another. But nonetheless, it makes you really think that maybe there's something to the reports that you're getting when you get that kind of interdependent confirmation.
Were you ever told by anybody that our government was fully aware of UFOs or anything like that?
Well, no one that I trusted. I told that by a few folks, and they were people whose reputations I was a little dubious of. But no one that I feel would be in a position to know or that I could trust has told me that.
Do you ever think anybody in government or CIA gave you misinformation for a reason?
Actually, CIA did occasionally. And of course, their rationale was that we want to make sure we get real data out of these guys. We don't want the taskers at the unit leaking information to the viewers, and so they would give a coordinate and then purposely mislead people as to what the purpose of the session was, of the tasking was. And then when they got the data, they were, in a couple of cases, apparently very pleased with what they got and satisfied that they had gotten legitimate data because they had pulled that little bit of trickery. one case of that, one instance of that, is goes back to Joe McMonigal when he was supposed to remote view the XM-1, now the M-1 Abrams tank. Of course, you know, I don't know, a decade and a half ago, it was...
Why would he want to remote view that, by the way?
Well, it was very secret at the time. And the intent was to discover if the Soviets had a program, how well they could actually...
How good they could access that.
That's right.
Okay.
So what they did was they parked the tank in an aircraft hangar, closed all the doors, took a picture of the hangar, and then that was used as the tasking. Joe was shown this, you know, blank building, which is clearly an aircraft hangar, and said, okay, describe what's inside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the obvious interpretation is going to be it's an aircraft hangar. There's got to be an airplane inside, you know. Joe didn't do that. He described a tank, which would be very unusual. Very few tanks were ever parked in an aircraft
That's
hangar.
That's right.
You know? And he did a quite good job of it. He even described the inside, talked about computers and laser rangefinders. I think he mentioned laser rangefinders. Anyway, rangefinders, all kinds of stuff that at that time, was, you know, people weren't supposed to know that kind of stuff was in the tank. And here he is describing it and drawing a pretty darn good picture of it. Although, in a typical remote viewing fashion, there was a left-right reversal, which is an interesting thing that crops up in many remote viewings where, you know, things that should be on the right are actually on the left.
And I wonder why that is.
Well, Hal Puthoff has got a theory on that, which I think probably makes sense. You know, in the normal human visual system, the optic nerves cross at the optic chiasm, and, you know, the right eye goes to the left brain and vice versa, right? Well, when you're perceiving things with remote viewing, it still activates optical kinds of responses. You get visuals, but they don't go through the eyes. And so there probably isn't a switch at the optical chiasm the way there would be if you were actually physically observing the target. And consequently, you don't have that, you know, the brain software reverses then the reversal to give you the correct picture, just like it turns things right side up because we actually see things upside down because of the nature of lens optics. And so when you do a remote viewing, you don't have that happen, and then the brain then, of course, does its little magic thing on this data because as far as it's concerned, it's visual data. It doesn't care where it comes from. And ends up turning it around. So you get these left-right reversals.